Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Redockables.
Yeah.
Duck and Oz. How you going, Oz?
Mate, we are hopefully on board here with technology. We'll see how we go, mate.
Hopefully we're recording, mate. If not, we've got plenty of time on our hands now. Guys, if you haven't watched the game already, stop the podcast, stop what you're doing, jump on YouTube and type in Fremantle Dockers versus Fitzroy Lions. There's two games on there. We're not going to do the last game that Fitzroy ever won, which was in the 96 season. We're going to do the last game they ever played, which the Dockers had a good win. Oz, how have you been, mate, during the lockdown and over Easter? You have a good Easter?
Yeah, mate. Look, happy Easter, everyone, and hopefully everyone's had a safe and socially responsible holiday weekend. And look, if anything, this experience has further entrenched my belief that we are extremely fortunate to be in a situation as a nation compared to other countries that are doing it tough. And look, Duck, I want to be positive here and just have the opportunity to say that what we've accomplished as a nation, and especially as Western Australians at short notice, and to be honest, lacking national leadership in the beginning, is nothing short of remarkable. So, look, my opinion, Duck, is that the state government have really put West Australians first. It's showing. West Australians have adapted to working from home. You know, we're isolating. We're changing our daily entrenched routines for the most part. We've found solutions to working from home out of offices. We've found ways of being resourceful, of podcasting, you know, remotely at a time when, you know, obviously thousands have lost their jobs. And whether it be short-term or long-term, mate, this is a stark reminder of both what we're capable of and also the danger that the situation potentially represents long term and unless we all pull together. So again, being positive, mate, as a West Australian, I'm really proud of our state and would like to thank everyone who's doing the right thing, socially distancing, not taking unnecessary risks, listening to our podcast, but more importantly, just being positive and as much as we can be coming together. And it's just truly humbling to see the good in people come out in times of crisis. And it's timely, Duck, and something, you know, we don't often get to talk about. But, you know, coming up, we've got Anzac Day, Saturday, 25th of April. Again, it's another way to come up with resourceful ways of marking, in this case, a solemn occasion and lighting our candles at the end of our driveways. And but I digress, mate. Just a few rambling thoughts in my head during this time, and I just thought it'd be appropriate to put it out there, mate. But how are you? How are you going?
Yeah, man, I'm good. My missus and I, well, my missus decided to give me a haircut today and didn't go too well, so I've ended up clean shaving my head, mate. So, yeah, a little bit different, a little bit resourceful. I'll send you through a photo after the pod, mate, but I'm looking quite interesting. When I called you today with a new mic, you put me on video chat, and I was like, "Oh no, I'm gonna save this and leave it for the pod, mate. Give you a little secret announcement, mate." So I might even send you a little photo now on our Facebook chat that we've got.
I love it.
So yeah, man, I've been not really doing a great lot. Trying to stay safe, you know, and things like that, and you know. Yeah, what you said was pretty spot on, mate. So, yeah, you know, you just try and do what you can and stay safe out there, guys. And this is one step at a time. It's going to be a long, long, slow process. But thank God we've got plenty of games on YouTube. So if people can upload more games as well, that'd be great. Looking at some, we need some games from like 2000 and where's my schedule? 2008. 2002 and 2012, guys, if anyone's got any of those.
Oh, boy.
Or if anyone wants to upload any of the finals as well, I'd love to watch Dockers finals, mate. But, mate, let's get into the game. So, look, on the 1st of September 1996, sad day for AFL where Fitzroy essentially were folded up and in front of 22,574 people at Subiaco, the Fremantle Dockers, 24 goals, 13, 157, defeated the Fitzroy Lions in their last ever outing, 10-11, 71. Mate, what a game. I mean, the Dockers kicked 16 goals, two in two quarters. That was the middle two quarters, quarter two and quarter three. But Oz, you know the thing that really got me licking my lips early on was the song that was played, and I know you've got it queued up. But the thing about footy, man, really got me up and about. I don't know what it was, but it was like, it was quarter time and they played that, just a little snippet of it. And I was like, hell pumped.
I've got it going on in the background. I'm not sure if you can hear it, mate.
Oh, mate, it's so good. I want to know, Oz, mate, is your favourite song that one or Holy Grail? What do you prefer to hear? When,
it was almost ruined for me in the GF. We won't talk about the year, but you know what I'm talking about. So. Yeah. I'm going to default back to this, and it reminds me of the big hair, it reminds me of the big jackets, the shell suits, the ill-fitting clothing of the time, and it's Champion who wrote this?
I think so. Yeah, I think this is one of the good names,
I'll keep it going in the background, mate. You keep going. This is the new GBU for the time.
Talk about some good. I thought, for a start, Chisholm up forward, mate. 23 disposals and 2 goals, 3. And the goal assists that aren't measured, mate, they were through the roof.
Oh, but,
mate, my big thing about the Prince, he actually didn't know how to kick a footy properly, did he? He had the weirdest kicking style. Like, I noticed it last week, but I know that he didn't exactly get a great deal of touches in the inaugural game, but man, just watching him, and like, I tell you what, like, it's so funny, like, reading I'm reading Matt Price's Way to Go at the moment, and I'm also reading the Dockers An Illustrated History by Les Everett, and I tell you what, man, like, some of the stuff, but you just, like, Matt Price sums it up with Scotty Chisholm. It's like, the man self-dubbed the Prince, he's like, claimed to be related to people and this and that, and like, of royal heritage, and he, you know, like, one, he could dodge around 15 people, and then, you know, he'd kick it and miss a target by 20 metres, and like, I just love the fact that Jared Neesham decided to give him the kick-out duties in, like, it, well, obviously wasn't in that game, because they gave it to Stephen O'Reilly. Oh, no, to Andrew McGovern.
Yeah, McGovern.
Andrew McGovern, and, yeah, so very funny.
It was a treat to watch as well.
I love the idea as well of fullbacks kicking it in. Like, it's just so funny. Like, no designated kicker. It's like, Stephen O'Reilly kicked it in the first game, the inaugural game, because he was fullback. And then Andrew McGovern was obviously fullback in this game, so he was kicking it in, which I found pretty funny. Mate, Kingsley Hunter, the big boy up front, kicked 4 goals, 2. And, mate, I love the commentary on this. He's a good young player, but he drops marks and he misses goals. I mean, is that not the two things you've got to do, Oz? You know what I mean? Kingsley Hunter. What were your... can I have a quick one-word answer? What did you think about his shorts?
I was more concerned about his eyebrow and his haircut. It was always something that, for me, was a big issue, Duck. And I digress. So can I just go back to the shorts in a second? I think, and this is... I'm a shallow person at times, and I admit that. But there's something... I think it was his right eyebrow, as we look at him. And it was weird. It was like, I'm not sure if he was smiling or not. And it was like almost the evil twitch at the top. And then the hair. And I just, I never really warmed to him. I'm not sure if it's because of that. Because I was, you know, impressionable at the time. But he had a good set of jukes, like when he presented. And he had all of the attributes of potentially being a really strong key forward for us. But just never eventuated really in the scheme of things. And the shorts, yeah. mate. Was it the Times? I don't know. I don't know.
Mate, I love this. So just in Way to Go, I just noted this down. In an article that has been put in from the Weekend Australian from August 20th, 1998, Neesham's sides are prone to horrendous injuries, but mainly his team is a team of artisans that lack an artist. While Jack's mates look up to the likes of Peter Matera, Wayne Carey, and Tony Modra, he's taken a shine to Kingsley Hunter. Enough said. That's his summary of the Dockers, mate, which is pretty spot on. Oh, hey, just another two guys that really tickle me. Luke Toya and Craig Callaghan, mate, 18 and 29 touches between each. Mate, the commentators even got them mixed up, which really made me laugh. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, my gag for ages was that they were the same person, and Craig Callaghan just shaved the goatee, and it would be Luke Toya. But they both played really well. Peter Mann was elite at centre half forward, man. He had 29 disposals and 9 marks and kicked 3 goals. pretty underrated, Peter, man. I know in the inaugural game that we watched last week, he was at centre half back and he's getting killed by Gale and Richo, but he just dominated up forward and he had a good set of jukes and he actually worked up the field pretty well. Gavin Mitchell, 26 disposals. My question to you, Oz, with Gavin Mitchell, is he the best docker to ever have a moustache, mate?
Look, you know my affinity for the Indigenous players, mate. And when we come to our combined 22, it's looking a little ridiculous. But I was a massive fan of Mitchell. And yes, I will have to put it out there as saying it was in between being the full-blown moustache and the porn mo. And it was just, he made it his own. It was something that was quite outstanding to behold, really. Look, yes, I loved him. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he also picked up Brownlow votes this game as well.
He did, mate. I'll get into the Brownlow in a second. But, mate, Gavin Mitchell with the moustache, mate, I can't think, apart from Darty McCrafty, who's rocked the mo every now and again, I can't actually think off the top of my head another docker with a moustache, like just a straight moustache, like no Craig Callaghan-style goatee.
Yeah, brown type, yeah, goatee going on.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think who else had a moustache, and he's the only one that springs to mind at the moment, but if you can remember any dockers with moustaches, guys, hit us up on our social media, at PurpleRain95 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So yeah, slid that straight in, Oz, mate.
I love it.
Mate, just I'll talk about two other people. James Clement, 20 disposal, killed it off the halfback flank, mate. Looked like an absolute gun. Like he used to be one of my favorite players, yep. And I still don't get why we traded him. Yep. Yeah, he's unbelievable. And the last guy, mate, the only guy we can talk about, Clive.
Oh.
Mate, comes on at about the 20-minute mark of the second quarter. He kicks four goals, one. His first three kicks are goals, mate. He hit the top of the post with his other point.
Yeah.
So he could have kicked five straight. Mate, his salad was, it's just like unbelievable, his salad.
Yeah.
Like it's absolutely mental. And like, they're like, oh, he's a spasmodic guy. He's so up and down. I was like, mate, you wait. 100 games later, he's still the same. Like there's no difference.
No, mate.
But, Oz, what were your thoughts on Clive, mate?
On my notes when I was watching the game, I've got Waterhouse first kick goal. Can see why we drafted him when we did. Absolute legend. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Oh, mate. That's a good note.
Oh, boy. Yeah, look, something about Clive, which I think other clubs fail to recognise, is every team needs a player where the fans can rally around and draw that inspiration or draw that, you know, vibe, that the heart, if you will. And I know people talk about Shawnee Mack, but for me, around that time, it was Clive Waterhouse. I mean, you name another player in the competition at that time that Dennis Cometti used only the first name, Clive. That's it. I mean, you know.
He was unique in that, wasn't he? It was a bit disappointing Dennis Cometti didn't commentate this game. I think they had Drew Morford and KB. And yeah, Let's get into the bad, Oz, if there's nothing else you want to talk about. In the good, was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Look, what have I got here in my notes? I got Spider Burton again. I've got an affinity here for Spider Burton. Like, another great goal, great touches, so good. You've already talked about Chisholm, how good he is. The flowing goals, mate. Like, just the, I'm not sure if you're going to talk about this, so feel free to stop me, but the flow and run in waves when we're actually moving the ball so quickly and the game plan was coming together. And it was like, if you're going to pinpoint a game that epitomizes what this particular game plan could have been, this is the game. You know, we just cut them to pieces. It was amazing.
Yeah. I think poor old Fitzroy's defense was a bit of wet.
This is true.
Straight through it. Oh, mate.
Keep going.
I'd give my left arm for some wet toilet paper even now. Mate, into the bad. Fitzroy's last game being versus Dockers away. Classic AFL. I'm just reading up now in Fitzroy's finale in the Dockers Illustrated history. So they on the 4th of July in 1996, they said they'd merge. So not even before the year, like halfway through the year, they're like, yeah, you guys are done.
Yeah.
You know, like just unbelievable. You know, so classic AFL. I mean, obviously fixturing that, they must have had it. I was thinking, do you think they knew they were going to wind up Fitzroy? Because I know Fitzroy were in pretty dire straits there. you know, the crowds were right down. They couldn't hold on to any players, you know.
Yeah, of course. I think they knew that,
Do you think that they knew that and they're like, look, if we have it in Western Australia, we're not going to have, like, people coming on to – I think they would have played at Witten Oval if it was in Melbourne, like a last home game, and, like, people, like, burning things. Like, I don't know what happened in their last home game in Melbourne, whether or not there was riots or anything like that. But it's pretty interesting, man. Like, it's such an old club, and apparently their financial stuff wasn't as bad as what some clubs have been in the last 15 years. So it's really weird that, you know, I think the AFL wanted to bring in another Adelaide club. They didn't want to buy, you know, they wanted to have 16 teams. That was their right amount. So,
I mean, look, it's really interesting, mate. I mean, I agree with that. And I think they would have known at the beginning of the year, hence the reason why they would have scheduled an away game. They played their last game, obviously, in Victoria a week before. But if you look at the Fitzroy legacy, I was going through this and, you know, like you were saying before, like a club with history and all that sort of stuff, but the coaches they produced, Paul Ruse at Melbourne, Ross Lyon at Fremantle, Ken Hinckley at Port Adelaide, John Barker, Carlton, who's now senior assistant, John Blakely, Sydney Swan, senior assistant, and Alan McConnell from GWS, senior assistant. So, you know, they have produced the goods in terms of coaches and so forth. But, you know, at the time, obviously, that the merge didn't work out. They had players that were being poached and pilfered left, right and centre. And I think it was the Alistair Lynch trade or the signing really that sealed the deal for the rest of them. I mean, he couldn't really say no to that money at the time. I think it was like 10 years, $2 million at the time. Yeah, 10-year
contract, mate. My favourite thing.
Yeah, so it was, but I think that was pretty much it for Fitzroy. But
yeah, I mean, it was very interesting. I mean, the only other bad thing I had was the commentary team of Bartlett and Morfitt, who made a million mistakes, mate. They made so many mistakes. Like, I haven't seen half these players play before, and I still knew who they were, like the Dockers players in particular. I was like, mate, that's not Clement. That's not Toya. That's not Callahan. Like, that's not Chisholm. Like, I was like, man, people would kick goals, and they're like, oh, there goes Clement. He's kicked another one. It's like, mate, that's Gale. Like, what is going on here? So very, very interesting.
Now, before you go further, that was the time for the Freo media team, if there was a media team back then, that was the time for the media team to contact AFL and say, hey, this is our second year and the commentators are still getting it wrong. Now's the time to get it right. And let's plant that seed, mate. Plant that seed, because we're in now 2020, mate, and we still commentators have got no idea who Mundy and Fife are. They still call them, you know, Mundy and Fife. And everyone else is, I don't know, is that Brayshaw? Is that Chair? Is it Brayshaw? Is it Chair? You know.
Mate, they had a thing the other day on the Channel 9 footy show, like the Sunday footy show, and they're like, who was better out of Nick Revolt and Matthew Pavlich? And like the panel just goes, Revolt, and then it gets Billy Brownless and he's like, oh, well, we didn't see much of Pavlich, so I'm going to have to go Revolt. And Lloyd's like, yeah, I think Pavlich was better. We just didn't get to see him. It's like, we've got great players here that, like in WA, that no one sees. I would say, like, people like talk about how good Warren Treadway is. Like, we watched him play twice a year, if that. And you're just like, man, I used to hate that dude. He was just hell annoying, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, what do you do there? So, you know, it's pretty hard to say. Mate, just into some Dockery, and I got a lot of Dockery stuff. All right. Dockery item number one, Fitzroy's first goal that they kicked was from McGovern kicking it to himself and running too far out of a point, which I just love that. I found that very funny. Norrish wearing a glove on a really dry day, like it wasn't wet. It looked like the driest day. Oh, it looked like there was no grass in the middle of the middle of Subi, and he's wearing the glove. I found that very funny and very. It's more 90s than Dockery, just about, mate. The interchange, the guy Hogg who played for Fitzroy wasn't on the whole, pretty much all of the first three quarters. He didn't go on. He's in his track. So Wills and people sat on the bench for full quarters, man. I still don't get that. Nah. Like Waterhouse didn't go on the ground until literally 5 minutes ago in the second quarter. Sorry. So like he missed nearly half a footy. Like, it's just super weird, man.
Question
like,
without noticing.
I think it was Chris Connolly that kind of revolutionized the interchange.
Well, I was going to ask you, mate. So question without notice here, and I apologize for putting you on the spot, but
yeah.
Was there a cap at the time on how many interchange?
No. Nah.
So it was unlimited.
There's never been a cap because they changed from sub to interchange. So I think back in the 80s, even in the early 90s, there may have been a like pretty much a substitute where if you went off, you didn't really come back on. Like people just sat on the bench. Like the bench was actually you sit on the bench. And things might change. I'd have to double check on that. People just didn't use the interchange, mate.
Because that, surely that's the last piece in the puzzle to Neesham's game plan. Like they were already fit, but yeah. If he just rotates through that bench.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I mean, if Chris Connolly could have been at an assistant coach, maybe unlocked it, mate. I thought some other ones. The old and Wilsey was a great proponent of this. The old hailing the cab for holding the ball. I found that quite funny. The goal umpires wearing ties. And I feel, did they have a button-up shirt or was it a polo shirt? A polo shirt with the ties, a pretty elite look. If that was the case, just signs at the footy, like people holding up signs. I thought that was pretty funny. The streaker not putting off Kingsley Hunter. That was a good one as well. Like there's a streaker that runs across and they're like, oh, there's a streaker on the field. And Kingsley Hunter just goes back and kicks it. And it's weird, man. No celebrations for goals. It's super weird. Like someone would go back and kick a goal and you're like, oh, is that a goal? And like you look at the players and they're like zero emotion. No one's getting around them or anything like that. So I thought that was quite funny. And the Fitzroy temporary tattoos, mate, were... They just made me laugh so hard. Like, is that not the most 90s thing? The temporary tattoos that they had on their shoulders.
Yeah, everyone loves a temporary tat, mate. It makes you hard.
Mate, now, Oz, I've got a quick question without notice for you. How old do you think Andrew Wills was at the time of the game?
Thinking
about looking at him, how old do you think he was?
He was a lot younger than what he actually looked like. So he looked like he was like 33, 34. But I hazard a guess to say that he was probably in the vicinity of 25, maybe even younger.
Yeah, you're just about on it. 24 years and 342 days. And guys, I really do apologize for the lack of clarity in the question that I put on Facebook and Instagram, the quiz question. But the question was, how old do you think Michael Brown was at the time of the game? People are like, I think he's like 50 now. I'm like, oh, no. So like, look at him. Look at Michael Brown. Now, those people who watched, and you see Michael Brown, and you're just like, okay, so this guy's like, what, 30? Like, he's a mature age dude. He's got like a full goatee, 19 years old. Cheers. Yeah. Thank you very much for that. Yeah. So, look, very, 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 very interesting there. Oz, now, just quickly, onto the Brownlow votes that occurred. So, we've got 3 votes went to Gavin Mitchell, 2 votes to Craig Callaghan, and 1 vote to Luke Toya. Okay, yep. So I sent out a tweet to this guy on Twitter called The Swamp Thing, who's essentially one of the great Twitter follows guys, if you're out there. And he just comes up with, like, you ask him a random thing and he'll be able to answer it to him. So I said, in Fitzroy's last ever game, the Brownlow votes were Gavin Mitchell, number 45, Craig Callaghan, number 42, and Luke Toya, number 40. My question is, has there been a higher aggregate for jumper numbers for Brownlow votes? All right. And the Swamp Thing's got back to me, mate, and he's gone, look, the highest aggregate jumper numbers for players polling Brownlow votes in a game, 138 for round 2017, round 10, Sydney versus Hawthorn, when Burgoyne and Franklin both wore number 67 for the 67 referendum.
Oh, yes.
And Hadlebury wore number 4. Yeah, so we'll discount that one because they weren't wearing their proper numbers. 133 in a 1986 Fitzroy versus Carlton game, 130 in a 1987 round 19 Brisbane versus Collingwood game.
Ugh.
And then that one was the third highest ever because I was like, mate, there is no way there is 3 guys wearing number 40 to poll votes. But, yep, in the Fitzroy Carlton game, it was 38, 37, and 58. And in the Brisbane Collingwood game, it was 45, 44, and 41. So I was like, oh, man. I was like, I think I've found something here. Because I just looked at and I was like, oh, man, Toya's wearing 40, like before he changed numbers. Callaghan's 42, of course, and Mitchell was 45. I think he may have changed numbers as well.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the chances, mate? Like, that's so high. Like, can you imagine that now? Like, who is 40s now if it's not 44?
Oh, boy.
It's like, oh, man. Like.
Oh, boy.
All right, Oz, do you want to go to a break, or do you want to do the Bahundi Williams question of the merged teams, mate?
I'll tell you what, let's go to a break, and then we'll come back and, go from there.
When we come back, guys, we'll have the merged teams of today's team and the game in 96 team. Who would make the best 22 for both me and Oz?
Beautiful, mate. Now, this one's a special one, mate. This one's called COVID Struggles.
Welcome back to episode 2 of the Redockables. We're going back to 1996, Dockers v Fitzroy, round 22. Fitzroy's last ever game in the competition, in which I believe Oz, which was quite poignant, was the singing of "Auld Lang Syne."
Yes.
At the end of the game, on top of one of the grandstands, I believe.
Oh boy,
mate! And just reading about it as well. How funny is that? The Dockers essentially put $10,000 towards the occasion, and all the kind of celebrations of Fitzroy. I don't think that probably the AFL were like, oh yeah, mate, good, that's good.
Yeah, they put nothing in. It's like, that's right. I don't think the AFL put
anything. Seems like it. It's just like, oh, man, they just stabbed him in the back, and they're like, go up to Brisbane. Cheers. Cheers. Don't you reckon it would have been good if Brisbane wore the Fitzroy jumpers, like one of the games, one of the flags they won?
Oh, yeah.
Let's say the middle flag. Yeah, they're like, against Collingwood, they're like, you know what, we've won the flag. Let's wear the old Fitzroy jumpers. I actually do like when they wear them. No, this isn't the Fitzroy fizzle. But, mate, I really do love when they wear the Fitzroy jumpers, Brisbane Lions. It's really good. Mate, we teased it out, but let's get into our merge 22. So last week, Bahundi Williams, one of our longtime loyal listeners, asked a question about who would you pick from the inaugural team to play in the current day best 22. So we've decided to run with that every episode of the Redockables.
Let's do it.
Merge a team together. And you'll probably see a little bit of a similar kind of thing happening with me, but I've got some interesting players in there.
Oh boy!
But actually, I've missed someone, but I will.
I've missed plenty, mate. Don't worry about that.
I'll swap someone over. We'll see who we both missed. We probably missed plenty of players.
Oh, mate, I got plenty of
players. All right, Oz, do you want to start from your back line? Do your back three?
Okay, my back three. I've got Clement, Pierce, and Hamling.
I've gone Ryan, Pierce, and Logue. So nice. I don't have anyone in those back three, but I've got a couple more coming up.
Yeah.
All right. Your halfback line?
Oh, you knew this was coming, mate. Kickett, Wilson, and Chisholm.
I've got Kickett, Hamling, and Clement. So I've got Clement and Kickett coming into the side.
Yeah. Actually, that's a better when you think about it, because Clement's got so much pace. Oh, yeah. He's so quick. But I mean, Chisholm's quick. Wilson's quick. I mean, Kickett, you just want him marshalling that. Oh, boy. Just getting excited.
Oh, boy. That's
sorry,
a good back six.
Oh, boy.
Who have you got across your centre line, mate?
Hill, Fife, and Mundy.
I've got Mitchell, Brayshaw, and Hill. So I got Mitchell. After watching that game, Mitchell wasn't that good a player, but I might get Mitchell in my side, mate.
I have him in, mate.
He's killing it.
I have him in. Don't worry about that.
Oh, okay. Half forward line?
My half forward line is Walters, White, and Mitchell. Now, can I just quickly talk about Jeff White for a sec?
Yeah, man. Talk about it.
Now, Jeff White, obviously one of our earlier picks, and for those of you who can't remember, Jeff White ended up shafting Freo to a degree and ended up going to Melbourne. And what we managed to pick up was pick 22. We traded White and pick 22, and in exchange for pick 21, which we used to get Clem Michael, and pick 26, yes, Brody Holland. But we also picked up Fletcher Bond, and could have used that pick that we used on, I think it was Bond, to pick up Lukey Power at pick 5. But that's okay. Mm. We needed some mature heads. So I know at the time Jeff White looked really good, but we did have Spider Burton, and we picked up Glenn Michael, obviously son of, and we thought, here we go, we're set up before obviously the knee injury and then whatnot. So, but to get Fletcher, Bond, Michael and Holland, I mean, that's a pretty good pickup, mate.
Yeah, so. I mean, I find it quite interesting that they actually picked up Jeff White at pick one and didn't go with Scotty Lucas, who was a centre half forward. Mm. And we were crying out for, you know, I know White is a big man, but he's a ruck. So, you know, crying out. Any listeners out there, I sent a Facebook message to the Waffle or a Twitter message. I don't know what it was, one of the two. And I was like, can you send me the 1996 Sandover medal vote tallies? Because the amount of times I heard Jeff White is one of the favourites for Sandover and he's only played 8 games. Now, Oz, I remember in 96, this is one of my vivid memories as a child, is going to the 96 grand final. Mighty East Perth were playing Claremont and Scott Loving dropped a chest mark in the goal square and Claremont won by 2 points. Oh, and like they had Todd Ridley kicked 7 goals for Claremont, was playing for them. Claremont had a bunch of AFL-listed players and Stitcher stuff, of course, but I remember the 96 grand final. I vividly remember Scott Loving dropping that mark in the goal square, slipping straight through his arms, a chest mark, just slipped through his arms, and we would have won the game. Sorry, went about a minute later. Yeah, classic.
Oh boy.
Anyway, mate, look, what were we up to? We're up to half forward line. My half forward line was Clive, Peter Mann, Sonny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Your forward line.
Oh, mate, lick your lips here. Are you ready for this? Hmm? Waterhouse, Lob and Man.
I've gone Chisholm after his game he played in the forward line. I love the electricity. Lob and Sturt.
I thought about Sturt, but he's only had technically the one game, right?
So yeah, mate. But I'm going off that one game, mate.
I respect that because I almost had him in the side. But Peter Mann, like you said, he dominated. But you know, yeah.
Okay, yeah, like who have you got in the ruck?
Burton, Callahan, and Toya.
I've got White, Fife, and Callahan.
Ooh,
I like Callahan's grunt, man. He was good. Why we traded him to St Kilda, I do not know. He seems so solid, man.
But is there any other player?
He seemed like a really good player.
Is there any other player that looks like a St Kilda player other than, you know, he does look like a St Kilda player?
Yes. St Kilda like player. You said, and though, who was on your interchange, mate?
You've already said yours. Interchange, I've got Conker, Brayshaw, and Loga.
Oh, I went Toya, Kingsley Hunter, Mundy, and Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, midfielder, defender, forward line, and another midfielder.
I've only got three in my interchange.
Oh, well, pick someone. You can pick Sturt if you want to, mate.
Yeah, let me have a look at my list here because I didn't actually name the Freo players that played them. I'm supposed to be doing that now. You know the ones that played.
No,
okay,
you're right.
Yeah, look, you know what? I'm gonna throw in. I'll throw in Sturt because I
managed to win you around, mate.
Yeah, I'm very excited about Sturt. No doubt. About that. Yeah, I like it. Good work,
mate. That's the way it goes. Now, Oz, can I ask you a question without notice?
Oh, here we go.
I was looking up today the number one ticket holders of the Dockers at the time in 95 and 96. Can you guess who the number one ticket holder was?
In 95?
I'll give you a clue, okay? She, and this is a big clue, she was a premier, the 25th premier of Western Australia.
Oh, Carmen Lawrence.
Yeah, Carmen Lawrence. Dr. Carmen Lawrence, mate, was the number one ticket holder.
And that was that 95 or 96?
95 and 96.
That was interesting because 96, Richard Court was premier.
Carmen Lawrence, I think, was a federal minister at that time. She was the Minister for Health and Human Services and also the Minister for Women.
Yes. Oh, mate.
And believe it or not, controversially, I don't know, was she a Liberal?
No, she's
Labor. Labor Party.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought she'd swap, but she hadn't. But mate, how good's I had a look. This is how good my days off are going. how excited I am. I was looking at number one ticket holders because I could swear that Northerly was the number one ticket holder for the Dockers for a while, and it wasn't the case. Yeah, we'll go through every time we change number one ticket holders. I'll let you guys know because it's always classic. Oz, just on the 1996 season, we'll go through now with the Dockers, mate. Look, we went 7-15. We managed to beat Sydney in round two by 29 points, Carlton in round three by 53 points, which was a massive, massive win, considering Carlton were on a mass. I think we broke their winning streak of like 25 games or something like that, or 23 games. So that was massive. And believe it or not, Oz, at home on the farm with this guy, the guy who used to run the shearing team that used to come out to our farm, was his name is John Durack, and he's mad Carlton supporter. And Dad got the stencils out and the ink out from the to mark the wool bales, and marked it on his door where he obviously the sheep come in and out. He pulls the sheep in and out. He marked the score out. So that was pretty funny. Melbourne in round five, we won by 37 points. So in round up to round five, guys, we were 3-2 and looking all right. But then we lose four games in a row. We beat Richmond by 54 points in round nine. We beat Sydney in round 17 by 26 points. So we lose eight in a row. Then we beat Collingwood by 24 points and Fitzroy by 86 points. To finish off the season, not too bad, but the middle of the season, we just got absolutely killed. I think it might have been the young legs and things like that, and injuries always the way as well. People get injured. Ben Allen didn't play many games, you know. And so, you know, injuries to key players really, really hindered us a bit. But, mate, Doig medal, top 10. Do you want me to go through it?
Go.
All right. O'Reilly, Kickett, Chisholm, Mann, Callahan, Mitchell, Toya, Bandy, Jones, and McManus. So, mate, really big efforts from Toya playing his first season. Callahan had only played a couple of games prior to that. Bandy's first season, pretty much. He played the back end of the 95 season. Jones, quite young as well, and McManus, of course, my favourite, Shawnee Mack. him finishing top 10. So a lot of young guys in the top 10 when you look at that. But O'Reilly, Kickett, Chisholm and Mann were probably our four mainstays, which is pretty important there.
I've got to throw a question out to you, mate. Again,
yeah, mate.
Watching Shawnee Mack, I mean, he only had the 12 posies for this game, but he looked like he was kicking the ball pretty well. He looked like he was pretty quick. He was getting it. What did you think of his game?
Mate, you know me. I watch Shawnee Mack with, let's say, brown-coloured glasses, mate, because I've got no time for the guy. And I think he's a bit of a joke, to be honest. But I'll tell you how I really feel. He wasn't bad. He was solid. He was on the bench for a bit. You know, he was young during that time. And, you know, he was all right. He wasn't anything to crow about. I did not like him as a player. And I hate that he's always seen as Docker's favourite son, when I think, like, I always thought all the Docker's fans that I knew never liked him and thought he was average. So, you know, he did kind of... epitomizes the Dockers a bit. Pretty average skills, tries hard, you know, things like that.
Oh, boy.
That's what you want. Mate, just quickly in the 96 season as well, the Beacon Award was won by Gavin Mitchell, leading goal kicker Kingsley Hunter with 33. Ben Allen was still captain. We had, mate, five rising stars, believe it or not. So Daniel Bandy in round two versus Sydney. Greg Harding, who actually played pretty well in the game as well, round four versus Collingwood. Kingsley Hunter, round 14 versus St Kilda. Luke Toya, round 20 against Melbourne. And Craig Callahan, round 22 versus Brisbane, mate. I tell you what, old mate Gavin Mitchell was pretty tough not to win it in round... no, that must have been round 21 versus Brisbane. Round 22 versus Fitzroy, mate, because unless Callahan got it then. I'm getting confused, mate. I think the Dockers have made a mistake there, round 22. Anyway, I think we played Brisbane round 21, but Gav Mitchell was bit stiff around 22 not to get it v Fitzroy, mate. Oh, after getting three Brownlow votes. Oh. But mate, just some other things. Look, obviously the premiership in '96 was between North Melbourne and Sydney. I do remember Plugger Lockett kicking the point after the siren to get into the grand final.
Yes.
James Third and Michael Voss both won the Brownlow, joint Brownlow, and Plugger Lockett won the Coleman medal, mate. And if I believe right, I think Shannon Grant that won the... I haven't got the...
The Rising Star?
Norm Smith. I think he won the Norm Smith. Let's have a look here. I'll bring it up. No, Glenn Archer. Shannon Grant must have won it in '99 when they beat...
How old was he at that time?
Glenn Archer?
No. Shannon Grant.
I don't think he played in the game, to be honest. I think I might have. Who played in that game in '96? Did Bell play? Peter Bell played. Cheers. Didn't want him. It's all right. wouldn't want to make you. Is Grant in there? No, he mustn't have been. Anyway, doesn't matter. We're just talking about things that don't really matter.
Yep.
But Oz, it's time for your quiz, mate, the music quiz. Do you want to crank it up?
Oh, boy. If you're not excited enough right now, this is going to tickle the fancy. All right, so this is the September 1996 Top 10. Now, I want you to try and cast your mind back to these chestnuts. Here we go. Take this pink ribbon off my eyes. Number 10. I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. Cause I'm just a girl, a little lonely. Number 9. Absolute belter at number 8. Singing my life with his words. Killing me softly with his song. Killing me softly. The girl has got the touch. Watch her got us an inside. Number 7. Oh, God. Number 6. Sounds like something you'd find online. Shout out, Warnie. How you going? Number 5. It's time for another ballad.
Oh, this is a banger, mate.
Number 4 is a classic, Duck. And it's un-Australian if you don't know this. Mental Nomad, I've got to cut these songs a little sooner. It's good at the time. Number 3.
Oh.
The number 2 and 1, by the way. Classic gags here. What happens when you get confused? Imagine if this was a download error. Now, this is number 2.
Oh, mate, this is that's a dance floor killer, mate.
Now, mate, wait for this one, mate. It gets better. All right, here we go. Here's number 1. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so it's the original Macarena and then the remix Macarena.
So
I remember they both had different film clips on Rage. So I actually do remember that.
They did, mate. It's still in my head, so I'm just going to fade that out now. So, yeah, number 2 and number 1. I'll get to that in a second. I've got a classic story about that Australian song as well. So, can I go through the answers now, mate?
Yeah, mate, go through them. I think I got a few. Okay, like, I knew a lot of those songs.
All right, so number 10, what do you reckon?
That was No Doubt, Just
that's,
a Girl.
That's correct. Number 9?
Can't remember what the song was.
Tracy Bonham, Mother Mother. I totally forgot about that, to be honest, mate. Number 8? The Fugees.
Can't remember this. I actually can't remember any of the songs down. Just blanked out of my head.
Sorry, mate. Killing Me Softly, The Fugees. Number 7, Maxi Priest featuring Shaggy, That Girl. Number 6, Tony Braxton, Making Me High, which was one of the first banger songs I had in the old Datsun Sunny 120Y. And a side note, Duck, shout out to Brad Cowayne, who managed to retrofit my detachable face cassette deck inside of the glove box of the Datsun Sunny because you didn't want to cut into the original deck. And it looked like I didn't have anything special because I had the louver over the back. So I had the deck in the glove box. I had the CD stacker underneath the chair and the banging speakers, the 6x9s on the back hidden by the louver, mate. That was one special Datsun Sunny, mate. I'll give you the hot tip. Number five, Celine Dion, Because You Love Me. Another banger, as you said.
Yeah.
Number four, Savage Garden, I Want You. Now, why do I say it's un-Australian?
Was that their first hit?
That was their first hit. Now, the missus at the time was a massive Savage Garden fan. I was still trying to impress at this point in time. We had just, I believe, I might have been a year later, we'd just gone to a U2 Pop Mart concert where U2 popped out of 11 at the old Burswood Dome. I remember that quite distinctly, mainly because I was queuing up behind Glenn Jakovich for a Pop Mart t-shirt. I remember that, thinking this guy's pretty big. The next day I had to go to a Savage Garden concert, man. I can tell you it wasn't the same performance. I'll give you the hot tip. Number three, Mark Morrison, Return of the Mac. I never realized he disappeared in the first place, mate, but it was a Return of the Mac.
Mate, Return of the Mac. It's a song dedicated to Luke McFarlane, isn't it? Coming back to the club. That's what I thought it was about. Maybe it's about Shawnee Mac coming back from his knee injuries. Return of the Mac.
Sorry, mate. Number two, Los Del Mar was the cover, the band, and they covered Macarena. And the number one was the original band, not to be confused with Los Del Mar. It was Los Del Rio, Macarena. So there is the top 10. Now, Duck, I did say to you that I was deep diving. I'm going to ask you this question. You asked me this before, and I really enjoyed picking my head at the time. I love movies. And at the time of 1996, I've got a list here of 10 of the highest grossing films of 1996. Now, I just want you to see if you can name one in the top 10.
Okay, 1996. I feel like it was Jurassic Park.
My 96? Son said that. No, Jurassic Park is not in the top 10.
Oh, man. Jurassic Park.
Think Will Smith. Think Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, Men in Black?
No. Think Jeff Goldblum. Think Aliens.
Will Smith. Not Independence Day.
That is correct. The number one grossing film, $817 million, if you don't mind.
Oh, nice.
Number two, about weather.
Twister.
Yes, correct.
Was Jumanji in there as well?
Jumanji, not in there, mate. Not in there, mate. Let me just go through. Do you want to have another guess?
Or the Castle fans out there?
Number three was Mission Impossible. Four was The Rock. Hunchback of Notre Dame, 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, The Rock. The Rock's
Ransom.
A banger, man.
Ransom. Oh, Mel Gibson. Nutty Ransom. Professor. Jerry Maguire. Show Me the Money.
Oh.
At number
some
nine.
Good movies.
And Eraser. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, mate, how about
Eraser?
That?
I don't think I've watched that. I probably have. Mate, some good movies there. Jerry Maguire.
Oh, Jerry Maguire, mate. I love
good
it.
Good movie. Show Me the Money.
Show me the money.
Do you want to do the quiz now, mate?
Yeah, let's do the quiz, mate.
All right. So this, guys, again, now. Apologies, guys. Apologies must go out. Firstly, to my old man who picked up my first mistake I made in the quiz last week, and then to Nando who picked up the second mistake I made in the quiz last week. So last week, one of the questions was how many Doig medalists were playing. I said three, Kickett, Mann, and Norrish. But Stephen O'Reilly won the Doig medal in 96, so I clearly got that wrong. And the other one, which was a little bit tricky, is I said how many future captains were playing. Now, Nando's obviously picked this one up because Chris Bond was playing for Richmond,
yeah,
and he was the captain of the Dockers.
Of course.
So great pick up by you, Nando, and I should have used that as a little bit of a trick. But, mate, let's get into this week's quiz. And if I have made a mistake, guys, please hit me up. That's cool. I don't mind. I make mistakes. I'm only human.
I love this.
All right, question number one. Who was the youngest player in the game? This is all about the game, people that were playing in the game. Who was the youngest player in the game for the Dockers?
All
question
right.
Number one.
Number two, who was the oldest player in the game for the Dockers? That is the oldest player in the game.
Ew. Question three, who had played the most games for Fremantle at the time? So which player had played the most games for Fremantle at the time?
All right. Question four, who had kicked the most goals for Frio at the time? Kicked the most goals for Frio at the time.
Question number five. How many Dockers had played for other teams? So how many Dockers in that side had played for other teams? Bonus point if you can name all of them.
Question six. Who would go on to play the most games for the Dockers from the team? So who would go on to play the most games for the Dockers from the team?
Okay. Question number seven. Who would go on to play the least amount of games from the team? So who would play the least amount of games of that team that played that game against Fitzroy? Fitzroy's last game.
BFL number eight, name the two future club captains who played in the game. Two future club captains.
Hopefully I've got that right and someone from Fitzroy didn't end up captaining the Dockers.
I'm pretty sure you're good.
All right. Question number nine. Now, this is a good one. Of the 21 players that played in the game for Freo, how many only played for Freo? How many of those only played for Freo? And if you can, there's a bonus point if you can get the players as well.
Oof, tough one. Number 10, how many of the 21 were members of Dockers 25 in 25? So how many of the 21 were members of the Dockers 25 in 25? Now, Duck, I just realized I don't think I actually went through the team. I think I mentioned this before. Do you want me to quickly run through who played at the time?
No, it's all right, mate. They would know. The people who are listening to this will know who's played in the teams.
Beautiful.
It's all right. If they don't, they can research it, mate.
All right. Should we cut
all
to
right,
a break?
All right, guys, we'll go to a break. And when we come back, we've got the answers for the quiz.
Beautiful. This one's called MRI Magic.
Welcome back to episode two of the Redockables. I was just on my phone. That was really funny. Anyway, guys, welcome back to episode two. It's we just reviewed Fitzroy v. the Dockers, Fitzroy's last ever game. But now we've got some answers to the quiz questions that we had. Question number one was, who was the youngest player for the Dockers in the game? And that was Luke Toya, who was 18 years old and 283 days, mate.
Beautiful.
And,
And the oldest player in the game for the Dockers was one Andrew McGovern. And McGovern was 28 years.
Do you know how old he was, mate?
Yeah, 28 years and 147 days.
Fantastic, mate. Question number three. Who'd played the most games for Fremantle at the time? That was Stephen O'Reilly with 42 games, mate.
Beautiful. It's me, yeah. Who had kicked the most goals for Freo at the time? And that was Peter Mann with 59 goals.
Question five, how many Dockers had played for other teams that had played in that game at that stage? Six, we had Kickett, McGovern, Mann, Norrish, Wills and O'Reilly.
Yeah, Wills was 45 at the time, I think.
He's an old looking man.
Question six, who would go on to play the most games for the Dockers from the team? That would be the man that I affectionately knew as the Crab, Shane Parker, with 238 games. He just ran like a crab, mate.
Nosy, mate. Nosy Parker. Yeah. And he had that big schnoz on him.
He had that hunch and he ran like a whippet.
Who played the least amount of games? And this is the second little quiz on this book that I put on the social media. That was Michael Brown at 22 games, and he looked about 35 at the time. So retired because of old age, mate. That's why he didn't play many games.
He confused me with Hines from West Coast. Remember Hines?
Yes.
They look very similar. Like they used, used to do Hungry Jack's appearances a fair bit. Anyway, it strikes me as the man that used to do. Anyway, number eight, name the two future club captains who played in the game. That was Shawnee McManus and Peter Mann.
Fantastic. Of the 21 players, who played in the game for Freo, how many only played at Freo? It was only six. So Shane Parker, Clive McManus, Luke Toya, Jones, Brown and McManus all played only for Dockers. All the rest either got traded away or had already played for other teams. So very, very interesting there.
Mate, there was no way Waterhouse was going anywhere else other than Freo. There would have been a riot, an absolute riot. Number 10, how many of the 21 were members of the Dockers 25 and 25? If you said four, you'd be correct. Dale Kickett, Shane Parker, Clive, as he's affectionately known by Dennis Kemeny, and Shawnee McManus.
All right, guys, thanks very much for listening to the Redockable episode 2. Next week's episode will be round one versus Western Bulldogs. Very famous victory for the boys. Round one over in Footscray. Might have even been at Witten Oval or Princess Park or something like that. And very strong Western Bulldogs side. We managed to get up. Spoiler alert. We managed to get up if you haven't checked in 1997. But, guys, we'll put everything up on the social media in regards to the clips you can watch on YouTube. If you're not on any of the social media, guys, well, you can start following us at PurpleRain95 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. But if you are not on social media, just type in, Fremantle versus Footscray 1997 full match, and I'm sure it'll pop up. So, yeah, guys, we'll watch that next week, and we'll do another pod. So, should be good. Oz, you got anything else you want to mention?
Nah, mate, all good. Love yous all. This one's called Oz's MRI. You know, got a few MRI stuff in here, mate. Told you.
So, yeah, and one was called MRI.
It's MRI magic, and this one's called Oz's MRI, mate. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. And we will talk to you next week. All right. Bye.
Love yous all. We'll be right back.